time. Tonight, we're about to start Hanukkah, Mirtz Hashem, this week. I figured there's a debate whether or not the Chashmonaim ended up doing something usher by usurping the Malchus, by becoming kings of Klal Yisrael. And it's something that needs to be looked at in the perspective. What is the nature of Malchus Yehuda? David HaMelech was granted Malchus. He was granted a dynasty. We know he's unique in that the Melech HaMashiach will be a descendant of David, and nobody else is entitled to that. A Melech has specific rights given in Sefer Devarim. He is able to impose certain taxation and other things. He has certain Yisurim that are specific to him. He's not allowed to have too many wives. He has specific karbanos. If he does an Aveira, his karban isn't always the same as a regular person's in terms of achatas. So, is that something specific to a descendant of David HaMelech or not? We had kings prior to David HaMelech. We had Shaul, who was anointed by Shmuel HaNavi, Api Hashem. And, he seems to have had the status of a Melech. Is there a difference of a Melech prior to David's being chosen? Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have the status of a Melech. Many refer to him halachically as having that capability. And therefore, he's clearly pre-David, but if there's something unique that was given to David, did they overstep their boundaries? It's something that the Rishonim discussed. There's actually a Yerushalmi that becomes the focus, perhaps, of these Rishonim. The Chashmonaim being a classic example, we're familiar with the story. Baruch Hashem, they were victorious over the Greeks, and they were able to get autonomy in Eretz Yisrael. They re-established the Beis HaMikdash, which had been in disarray. They rededicated the Mizbeach. We discussed this last week. And Baruch Hashem, we have Chanukah that's celebrated now every year. It didn't really end there in terms of the bloodline, if you will, of the Chashmonaim. There were many generations, not many, many generations, but there were several generations, I should say, which a descendant of the Chashmonaim ruled over Klal Yisrael. They even was a civil war at one point in time between two, Aristobulus and his brother Hyrcanus, trying to split the kingdom. And eventually, the thing eroded to the point where the last Hasmonean king, so to speak, was Herod, or Hordus, who Chazal tells wasn't even, in fact, really from the Chashmonaim's bloodline. He was a slave in their household, and the Chashmonaim bloodline was completely eradicated and annihilated, and he usurped the throne from them. So it ended very tragically.
Hordus was Jewish or not?
Hordus was an abbot. He was a slave. So a slave has status as a Jew.
They had Avodim in those days?
Absolutely.
I mean, they didn't have, like, Evan Kananim with
anything
in the Chumash.
Absolutely they did. Rabbi Gamliel even had one, Tavi Avdo, and that's after the Chorban. This is before the Chorban. This is leading up to the Chorban. Just prior to the Chorban, they were still in control. So they definitely had that practice. There's even been speculation from some Achronim, and we mentioned this last week after the Shir was over, and we were just schmoozing a little bit, that part of the reason, or one of the theories as to why there's no Maseches Chanukah in Shas, detailing the halachos, so you have very sporadic, a little thing here, a little thing there, a reference here, a reference there. Certainly nothing in Mishnayos, for the most part, detailing its halachos. They say, or some of these Achronim say, that it stems from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who compiled the Mishnayos, was from David's bloodline, and this competing monarchy, these Kohanim, Chashmonaim were from Aaron the Kohen. So they, there was this, ill feeling, so to speak, that he didn't want to incorporate it fully, Allah's stand. Presumably, he lit a menorah or, follow through with the lighting and said Al Anisim, etc., but to incorporate it into something that would eternally be learned as a set Mishnayos dedicated to that, he felt it wasn't appropriate because they'd overstepped their boundaries. So if that's true, which is a very late Achronish speculation, then you would see that even Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was hesitant. Presumably, we would hope it wasn't just because of personal feelings, but he felt that by including it, if this is the reason why, then because they did something usher, it would be inappropriate to honor them by dedicating a complete Masechta, and instead the halachas would be maintained through brises or other traditions which would be passed over without formally giving them the honor of having a Masechta after them.
Can you make a Kal v'chomer that if we're making halachas for a holiday, then for sure, then you should write a Masechta?
Well, that would make sense, but practically we find that there isn't one. So this is one theory. There are other theories. Another one we mentioned last.
There are a lot of mitzvahs that are missing. Like, we don't have any Masechta Tefillin. We don't have Masechta Mezuzah.
You're correct.
Okay, so the fact that the Chanukah is missing is not such
I'm not going to negate that, but the one thing is when it comes to Yom Tovim, it's the only Yantif that doesn't have something dedicated to it. So there are other theories. We mentioned with Reuven Margolius as a theory that anything that was overtly nationalistic was put not as its own Masechta, so as not to create ill will from the governing body, which is why we don't have Masechta's Gerim, as if we're taking people from the Gaim to be part of our nation. And similarly, Chanukah clearly having very nationalistic ideas and overtures of a rebellion against the ruling government wouldn't want to have been included as its own Masechta. Rather, it's split up as not to call too much attention to it in any one place. It's unclear. We don't have anything old, so this is all theory. Either way, what we do have is a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi'Yehuda, that something is not going to be taken away from Yehuda. And the question is, what is Yaakov Avinu doing? Is Yaakov commanding his children? Is he prophesying about what will occur to his children? Is it, if he is commanding, what binds us to his will? Is he commanding via prophecy, and then when Moshe Rabbeinu included it, it's a mitzvah? What's he doing when he says that? When he gives the brachos to his children, how much weight, should I say, are we to give to these brachos? If somebody tries to, I guess it wouldn't be necessarily on an individual basis, but if you could identify an entire shevet and try to change the personality of that shevet somehow and make it not what Yaakov prescribed, are you doing something wrong? So the Ramban mentions on this pasuk that Yaakov was stating that the melucha, the malchus, is supposed to be for Yehuda. It was designated for Yehuda. And that is where it belongs. We see David was given promises that he would, have the established melucha once he certainly came onto the scene. And we know Mashiach comes from him. Practically, we found the other malchios have dissipated, mostly tragically, with very few, if any, remnants of anybody from the original bloodline remaining. So, that being the case, we do have, obviously, Mordechai and Esther from Shaul, but the other ones from Malchai Yisrael, we don't really see anything, any remnant of the Hashemunayim completely were eradicated. So we see that something's been given over to David. The Ramban says, therefore, we're not to establish a Malchus from any other Shevet. And in fact, what happened was the Shvatim noticed, here's something very interesting. When David HaMelech's grandson took the throne, Rechavim, so he raised taxes, the people rebelled, they didn't like these new taxes, and Yeravam ben Nevat, so to speak, seceded from the union, I don't know what you want to call it, he took the Ten Shvatim, the Aseres HaShvatim that we know, and from that point on we haven't had a unified Klal Yisrael under one Malchus, under one reign, or in one area, under one nationality. It became Yisrael to the north, and Yehuda to the south.
A Navi told him to do this.
But a Navi, Achia Hashiloni, was the one who told him to do this. So we see a Navi, an established Navi. There's nobody who's suspecting Achia Hashiloni of having bad credentials. Nobody has suspected that he was a Navi Sheker. In fact, the Rambam includes him, as do others, as one of the primary links in our chain of Mesorah. So he's a reputable and considered to be a bona fide, verified Navi and link in the chain of Judaism, has established a new king who's clearly not from David or Yehuda. He's actually from Yosef. So the Ramban says that was its own thing. And the other Shvatim made a mistake and assumed that just like that instance could happen. Now we have to qualify, what instance? Is it what's deemed Horas Shoah? There's something called Horas Shoah where a Navi can suspend the Halacha temporarily? Or was it because it was a one-time thing, not Horas Shoah, but it's not actually an infraction to have a separate ruler for maybe a small duration of time? We're not talking long duration of time, we have to address that. But he says the other Shvatim took from that to establish dynasties, and they would impose Melech, B'nai Melech, one after another. So he seems not so much focused on the fact that there's an isolated king, and maybe king and child, who would, you know, rule, but that people try to establish everlasting dynasties that would be competing, so to speak, with Malchus Beis David, and not ever, with no intention whatsoever of ever stopping. Almost competing, saying, even when Mashiach comes, we have no intentions of following under that Melech. So the Ramban seems more focused on that point. He says that was going against their father's command. That's a little ambiguous. Their father is their father in heaven, or their father is their father Yaakov, because the Ramban is coming on this pasuk of Yaakov Avinu. In truth, if you ask me, I think in context he's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think he's actually referring to Yaakov, the way he expresses it. He says they're going against what I believe to be Yaakov's commandment, Yaakov's directive, and therefore they end up getting punished. It's almost as if Tzadik Goser Hashem Mekayim. Now, that's not necessarily an Isser. It's just Yaakov said something, it's going to happen. Somehow his prophetic brachos are destined to occur. We're supposed to follow that. That's considered the Nachla. Each shave, it's Nachla. The Ramban actually uses the title Nachla. It's inheritance, it's personality, it's identity. Nachla here clearly doesn't just mean land. It means its position and its job in Klal Yisrael. Yehuda's job is to be the Malachim. Somebody else taking Yehuda's job is overstepping Nachla. Is this a halacha concern? We don't really find a father can do that with his children in halacha. You know, a father can't say, have a tzavah, well, I want you to be this, you know, in the family, and you this in the family, and you this in the family. While he's alive and they're living in his house, he can make whatever rules he wants. You know, he's paying their bills. But when, you know, he passes, or they're establishing their own, he doesn't have the right to do that. But with Yaakov, it seems these brachas, he was given that authority to a degree, and therefore they're doing something wrong. I'm not calling it an avera, but they're doing something wrong, and they're punished. Then the Ramban says, and it's possible they're even doing an avera. So it seems up until this point, he didn't qualify it as being an avera. From this point on, and he's going to come from another pasuk right now, he says it's possible there's even an avera, even a directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that they're in violation of. What is this possible? He says Efshir. So Efshir doesn't mean definitively. He's not sure, it sounds like, whether this is certainly an Isser, or it's just against the idea of the Torah. You know, there's certain things that there's nothing specific you're doing wrong, but you're clearly not keeping the intent of the Torah. But here what we have is the Pasuk, when in Sefer Devarim tells us, something simalecha melech, we're supposed to place upon ourselves a king. And shortly after that parsha, the immediate parsha afterwards actually is a parsha that says that the Kohanim Halavim, the Kohanim themselves, are not to get nachala, they're not to get inheritance. The Yerushalmi in Hurrius tells us that besides the pashat pshat in the pasuk, was actually being expressed here is that kohanim, interestingly enough, cheshmonaim or kohanim are unable to get the nachla expressed in the parasha just before. The juxtaposition of the two parashas tells me malchus and then no chelik of nachla, besides the actual lack of inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, that they didn't get a land specifically to them, they're also not entitled to taking any malchus whatsoever. And he says, it's possible cheshmonaim, he says the cheshmonaim themselves, were therefore in violation of this when they tried to establish a dynasty. Once again, he's seemingly more focused on the dynasty as opposed to one isolated monarch. It's not just one king, it's that they wanted king, and they wanted his child to rule after him, and his child, and his child, and his child, eventually. He says it's possible they're even in violation of this. Now, the Ramban then says, and in truth, because from this he would say that maybe anybody could really be a melech as long as they're not a kohen. From Yaakov's bracha, you see you're in violation of Yaakov's directive if you're not from David HaMelech, or at least Yehuda. From the Isser, that's in Sefer Devarim, it only stated kohanim. Says Ramban, kohanim there is lav davka. He understands that it's somewhat connected to the pasuk in Vayechi, so we'll take the two together. He says it doesn't mean kohanim, it means non-Davidian. Not from the branch Davidians, but non-Yehudian, you know, non from Shevet Yehuda. And the reason why kohanim were specified, he doesn't say, although some other Mefarshim do say kohanim is expressed because that's the most prominent malchus that we know of that actually had some validity to it, referring to the Cheshmonaim, so the Torah had that in mind, but was using it as an example. The Ramban says, you would think if there's any Shevet that has Shaychus to Malchus besides Yehuda, that it would be the Kohanim, because the definition, or not definition, but the establishment of a Melech is oftentimes done through anointing, and the only people who are anointed besides Melechim are Kohanim, Gedolim. So you would think that just like the Kohen gets anointment with oil when he becomes the Kohen Gadol, in fact, the word Mashiach, we say Mashiach, you know, we generally refer to HaMelech HaMashiach, but the term Mashiach really throughout Shas and elsewhere really just means somebody who's anointed. And it's oftentimes referring to a Kohen Gadol. So the Mashiach, you could say, could either be a Kohen or could be somebody from Yehuda. You would think it could be either. So the Torah says, you can't have the Kohen, and Kol Shekin, you can't have somebody from another Shev. That's how the Ramban learns it. This being the case, some take it to mean that even a one-time king isn't able to be set up. I suspect that that's not what the Ramban actually meant. I think that what the Ramban is saying is a dynasty cannot be established, but a one-time king could be different. Now, that's the Ramban's...
So Yerom's son was not allowed to take over? Was that
that would seem to be the
and they were supposed to reunify themselves at that point?
It would seem to be something like that. Or if, for whatever reason, they still had issues with Yehuda and they didn't feel comfortable going back, then knowing as a temporary injunction, whether it's Yerom's child or not, would be irrelevant, but just to say, until we can reconcile, until our demands are met, until we're able to make peace with them, as we eventually want to live under the rule of Malchus Yehuda, until such point that we can achieve that, we're going to have a separate Melucha. I don't know if we could have a dynasty up until that point, but it's once we clearly want to perpetuate this forever, that's something that we're backing down from. That we're going to say is awesome. That seems to be my understanding of the Ramban. The Ran, in his drashos, takes issue with this Ramban. He thinks that the Ramban, isn't having the pshat in the pasuk, and he says, how could it be that this is pshat in the pasuk? Because Yaakov is giving a nevuah as to what's destined for Klal Yisrael. So if you're defining Yaakov's bracha of Yasser Shevet Yehuda, because Pasha Pshat in this Pasuk is not that you're not allowed to, it's that it won't happen. Lo yasur shevet meyuda. It will not happen that this will be removed from Yehuda. So that being the case, if you were telling me that the definition of that in the Isser aspect that you're looking at is if you try to establish a dynasty and you actually violated the Torah by doing that, then that means when that happened, you just nullified the Nevuah. Because Yaakov's saying, not only don't do it, but it won't happen. But you just made it happen. How do I know you made it happen? Because if you're defining that that's the Isser when you did it, then you're saying that's the definition of the Pasuk. If that's the definition of the Pasuk for the Isser, presumably that's the definition of the Pasuk for also the global Nevuah, if you will. And therefore, says the Ran, that can't be pshat in the Pasuk. Now, just to go back to the Ramban for a second, one possible tarot, although I don't know if this is it, is to say, you know, there's a machlokas and tamura between Abai and Rava, i'avid mahani, i'avid lo mahani. When you do an iser, does it work or does it not work? There's certainly surim that if you try to do it, did it work or not? Sometimes, you know, there's a chalos, if you will, in yeshivish terms, when you can enact certain, madness, whether it's your makdish something, if, you know, all of a sudden the animal that you're makdish or the item you're makdish has the status of being hekdish. Whatever, so these things happen. So there's a machlokas, if you violate the Torah, does what you intended to do work? And you just were over an Isser, or does it not work? So Rava says it doesn't work. So if the Ramban is telling me you violated the Isser, but you say lo mahani, but it didn't work, then you have a dynamic that the Ramban could be saying, listen, we see you tried to undermine the Nevuah of Yaakov. Yaakov said it won't happen. Your intentions are what's really Usser. And what the possible Isser is not even coming from there. The possible Isser is coming from Sefer Devarim. And it didn't work because you didn't really usurp the Melucha. So, you know, that's something that possibly one could say. And then the Ramban is saying the Isser happens with the intent. But in reality, the Bracha is that the Melucha will never be taken away from David completely. And that's something that we'll revisit. But either way, that's the Ramban. The Ran is not taking that approach. He assumes that the Isser and the Bracha are the same, right? Therefore, the Pashupshat in the Machlokas Ramban and Ran is the Ramban is viewing Isser that Yaakov was giving directives as opposed to nevuas as to what will happen, and the Ran says no, it's not directives; it's a Bracha. And the Ran says what's really happening here is that Yaakov is saying there always will be some element of Melucha given over to Yehuda. And that the other Shvatim will never be able to establish something at a time when Malchus exists. They'll never have their own complete Malchus. So Yehuda was around when Malchus Yisrael was around. The Chashmonaim, he says, wasn't a real Malchus. They didn't really have Malchus because they really were subservient first to some of the Greeks and also to the Romans. Now they asked him, the Ran, what do you mean? They overthrew the Greeks. There was autonomy for several years. So it seems to be a Malchus here that the Ran understands even when there was autonomy, they still weren't completely able to be free. Maybe they still were always nervous and knew that eventually the Romans would be coming back. They felt subservient. It's unclear what the Ran means with this, based on the
story. Did they have a true kingdom? I mean, like, they're running the country. Did they really claim themselves to really be kings? Or they,
yeah, sure.
Or they just acted as, like, the leader of the country?
They seem to really have believed to be that they were kings. Even Chazal referred to Agrippus as Agrippus HaMelech. There's a question from whom he was. If he came from Hordus, so if he was from an Eved, so maybe that was a concern. When they referred to him as a Chicha, the Gemara says, that, you know, maybe they were Chote, but the fact that he was a Melech doesn't seem to have been the issue. He was a ruler.
We say that the Nevuah means that the final, when Mashiach comes, it'll be Malchus Yehuda. So, and in the meantime, you know, whatever comes and goes,
So that definitely one could say, and we've alluded to it also, that's not the Ran exactly. the Ramban was suggesting the Isser he holds isn't that, because the Isser's the intention is to usurp that, but the bracha aspect could be what you're referring to. Very well could be. I think Sifei Mara in the Yerushalmi might say that, or something similar to that. So we have these two Mahalchim, the Ramban and the Ran, and then we have the Abarbanel, who says something a little bit differently, and he says the intention, he really seems to be taking some aspects from both the Ramban and the Ran, but putting a new perspective on it. He says, what's happening here, the bracha that was given over, wasn't that Yehuda is always going to be a king. It's that there always will be elements of srara, of royalty, nobility, given over to people from Yehuda, and they will always have positions of power, even if they're not the king. So what you have is kings during the times of Yehuda, and then you have, even though there is another king, but even during the times of Malchus Yisrael, there were the counterparts of Malchus Yehuda. So you have kings during that duration of time. And even when we didn't have a king at all, and during the times of Hashemite perhaps, you had Roshei Sanhedrin, you had a Reish Galusa at certain points in time, much later during the times of the Gaonim even, there was somebody who was semi-autonomous. He had authority from the Persian government to impose some level of law on the Jewish people in Bavel. You had in Eretz Yisrael, you had the Nasi. So they had some element either of Torah or of autonomy or both. And that, giving that respect to Yehuda, even though it's not Malchus per se, is a key of that. And certainly, Lo'as Lavo, the destiny that Mashiach will have, and then there, you know, he'll be the only king. So that in of itself is a demonstration of the bracha. And that's how the Abarbanel really seems to come in and address the concern. Now, based on this, the Ramban clearly is seeing the Chashmonaim in violation. Were they personally in violation? It seems it's almost more of a global or national issur. I don't know exactly on whom it falls. Who was supposed to stand up to them? I'm not sure. I'm not sure who could have stood up to them. They were in charge. You know, you don't exactly want to do that. But Sohn to Simulach HaMelech is not a mitzvah on the Melech together. It's a mitzvah on the Tzibur to produce the Melech and to make sure that he's put on top of you as ruler. So that violation is not to be given, that commandment is not to be given to Kohanim and any other Sheva. So that's a somewhat three of the machlokas. Now, the Rambam is a bit more interesting. There are two real places that the Rambam seems to address this concern. One is in Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos, firstly, was written when he was younger. It seems to be really a hakdama, a really massive hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah goes to order in the beginning of each segment of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam lists what mitzvahs he's going to deal with. So before, right, they call it the koseres, you know, sometimes a lot of people like to have a lot of fun, they bring a steerer between the koseres when he mentions the way the mitzvah is expressed, versus how it's in Sefer Mitzvahs. There's a third place in Sefer Amada where he seems to mention a minyan of Mitzvahs Akata. So people had a lot of fun with that to try to figure out why he changed from one to the other. It was written when he was younger, and therefore also we'll find that some suggest many times that when you have discrepancies between Sefer Mitzvahs and the actual Mishnah Torah, that even though one was supposed to perhaps be a Hakdama and then the second was supposed to be the follow-through, that by the time he got to the other parts, which was maybe updated, you know, etc., he may have been closer from certain earlier parts. So that's something to keep in mind. It's not uncommon that people suggest that. So in the 362nd mitzvah, which is obviously mitzvah slos haseh, because the essays don't go that high, so he says, Yishezarnu shelo limnos melech aleinu ish, shelo yeh mizera Yisrael. You cannot have a non Jew, or somebody who is born as a non-Jew, to be a Melech. Now, somebody who is born as a non-Jew could become Jewish. He's disqualified from being a Melech. It's just something that is understood from the pasuk. And he says, Afabisha haya geret tzedek. Even though he's a geret tzedek, tzedek, he's zoche to everything. You know, the Jewish people are zoche until he becomes part of the Jewish people, essentially. But one thing he's unable to achieve is to become a melech. And he brings a pasuk that says, from Pasha Shotim, L'suchel says, Alecha ish nochri, asher lo achichahu. You can't put a foreigner who's not your brother. So the way that's understood is not just a non-Jew, but even a Jewish person who didn't start off being Jewish. So a natural born, it's not like a constitutional requirement, but it is a Torah requirement that the person has to have been born a Jew. He brings to the Sifrim, and then he says, over here, Adna Mahamachus Levad, we know from the Nevi'im that David was Zoche to the Malchus. Now, that's interesting because he starts off saying that the mitzvah here that he's addressing is you cannot place a ger upon Klal Yisrael to be a Melech. One would think, barring any other mitzvahs of Melech selection, so one would think that if a ger is the only one disqualified, then any Jew is qualified, regardless of whether he's from Malchus Beis David, or if he's Kohen, Levi, Reuven, Shimon, you name it. Anybody theoretically is qualified. Now he's saying, not from Torah, not from Chamisha Chumshei Torah when I say Torah, rather from Nevi'im, Torah also, but not from Torah's Moshe, from Torah's Nevi'im. So we know from that that David was Zoche to this. And he brings some proofs to this, Kasser Machus, Achabod David, and all his children for, eternity, essentially. Ein melech l'mishi yam in Torah's Moshe, Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Adon Kol Nevi'im, Ela Mizera David Mizera Shalom Levad. He says, there's no melech, you cannot have a melech, somebody who believes in Torah's Moshe, you will not believe that there will be a melech, a malchus, that's not from the children of David and Shlomo. So now it's not just David, but Shlomo. When David chose Shlomo to be his successor, that was of this dynasty that he was stating. Now, does it have to be from Rechavam? He's not saying that. So theoretically, if you could find lineage that goes back to Shlomo from a son other than Rechavam, presumably he had many more sons, he had a few wives. So that being the case, then that person is eligible. Does it mean he can get it? Is there a hierarchy, a Yerusha? We find there is Yerusha, it does go father, son, if they're qualified. If they're not qualified candidates, then we will go out of the family a little bit, but still within the bigger family of from Shlomo. That's the Melech pool that we can choose from. Anybody who is not from this Malchus pool, which the Rambam has designated as coming from Shlomo, is a Nachri. Now that's a very interesting word to use, because that's the Isser that he's talking about. You cannot put a Nachri, is what the Pasuk says. And he then compares it to a Kohen, a non-Kohen, is called a Zar. So too, anybody who's not from this lineage is a Zar from Luchos. So I'm a Zar, and me being a Levi, I'm a Zar, first of all for Kohen, because I'm not a Kohen, but I'm a Zar also when it comes to Malchus. Whereas a Ben Shlomo, he's a Yisrael, he's Yehuda, right? So he's a Zar when it comes to Kohuna, for doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but he's not a Zar when it comes to Malchus. And similarly, a Kohen is not a Zar for Avodah, but he is a Zar for Malchus. V'zem hur ein safek bo, he says it's Pashut, essentially. And he says, this is explained in Yevamos and Sanhedrin, etc., other places also. So, it would seem that the Rambam has now included a melech from another shevet as being part of this iser. Now, is it part of an iser of zar? We don't see zaras anywhere. there's a specific iser of a zar doing the avoda. Is there a specific iser of a zar doing melucha? No. So that we don't find. But the fact that he also called him a nachri indicates that it's possible that that's what he's referring to as him being a nachri of this pasuk. So this is a different pasuk.
How does he deal with Yeravam?
So how does he deal with Yeravam? So he doesn't say in the Sefer Mitzvahs. We'll see in the Mishnah Torah something else, but we'll also have to address some concerns in the Mishnah Torah itself as to how we can, if we can reconcile that with the Sefer Mitzvahs. If the Mishnah Torah itself may be a stira mine obey, whether we'll find from one halacha to the next something that's very difficult to understand in the Mishnah Torah. But one could theorize at this point in time that the Navi said it and it was supposed to be a one-time Hara'as Shah. Just like Eliyahu and Navi was able to bring Karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's Asr. Why? Because it was Harash. There's a one-time or limited-time suspension of Halacha that's allowed to be done under certain circumstances. One could allow for that. Now, Shaul is no longer a problem. Because the Rambam isn't quoting the same pasuk as the Ramban. The Ramban quotes a pasuk that tells me that that no shevet is allowed to get the melucha, and that's in Sefer Devarim. So anything after Sefer Devarim is going to be problematic. Right? So we have to address, maybe Shaul was never supposed to be forever. It's unclear. We do have to address, it's mashma in the pasuk that because of Shaul's chatayim, that's why he was taken away from being the melech. Right? And then David came in, that's the whole thing, you know, with Shmuel's discussions with Shaul. How to reconcile this, I'm not sure. We don't know what would have happened if Shaul didn't do those averis. It happened. You know, that's what happened in the history. You can't change it anymore. But the Rambam, by only calling people, the pasuk itself in the Chumash was defined as anybody who is not Jewish born. Right? So, or from Jewish lineage. That included all Shvatim are really capable to be Melachim. Then the Rambam says that from a different pasuk that's saying that a Nachri can't be the Melech, not the Ramban's pasuk. So once David was Zochet to Nevuah, it's possible, I'm not saying 100% we have to, but it's possible to read this Rambam that if that now defines a Nachri, the once David was Zochet to it, the definition of Nachri wasn't just non-Jewish lineage, it was non Davidic or non-Solomonic, because it's specifically from Shlomo lineage, that's now a Nachri. So up until that point, until Shlomo, until David, so anybody was Zochah. So Shaul's not a problem. Achia Shiloni's choice of Yeravam may have been a Rasha or something like that. Let's see though, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says, so he seems to contradict himself a little bit even here in and of itself. He says, Ein ma'amid melech, next one. When you set up a king, so you anoint him with oil, if it's the initial king, and then he discusses how which children are allowed to take the melucha when a king passes away. Does it go to the oldest? Does it go to the youngest? Does it go to the most qualified, etc.? Came in Shanim Shech David. Once David became, anointed, Zacha b'keser Malchus. He was Zacha to this keser of Malchus. Now, that is similar to the Sefer Mitzvahs. Because it's only once David stepped in. Before that, there was no Zchus. Now let's go back a few halachas and see how the Rambam treats this iser. A few halachas before he says, "Ein ma'midin melech mikal gerim." You can't establish a melech from gerim or from lineage from gerim. Afilu acher cham doros ashdi imo Yisrael. Even if it's many generations, it could be that these people converted and their children, their children, their children. They've been 5-6 generations of being part of Klal Yisrael, so to speak, but so long as they don't have a Jewish-born or Jewish lineage mother, he says, Achei Imam Yisrael, then they're still considered gerim for this halacha. And he quotes the pasuk that he quoted in what's it called in the Sefer Hamitzvos. So that is gerim. From that halacha alone, you would think the same thing as Sefer Hamitzvos, but anybody else in Klal Yisrael is able to. Now he's telling me, just like he did in Sefer Hamitzvos, once David came along and had his anointment, so now all of a sudden he's Zoche. It's his and his male children's who are kosher from then on. And only Ksherim are allowed to be in there. And even though Shalom Zoche L'Ksherim Lo Ticharis Amalchus Mizera Dav Le'olam Heftich Kodosh Baruch Hu B'Ksherim Yasu Ban Abrisi B'Shpati L'Lechon etc. There's a special tachlit to David, unlike other malachim perhaps. So if another melech somehow gets in there and they don't live up to the standards, that's it. It's gone. David, even if his children stray, it will return to David's family at one point in time, which has happened. Whereas there have been kings who obeyed Avodah Zarah, and obviously now we're in Galus, etc., because of Chataenu, and therefore, even though that's happened, it will eventually return to him.
But even David's sons removed the Avodah Zarah.
Correct, and that's where it started to stray.
And is that a problem that David comes from a Gioras?
So, his mother, though, as that's on his father's side, the Rambam said his mother, Nitzavas, was, Jewish-born. So, Navi Shevet Melech Mishar Shevet Yisrael, next halacha. What if he did make a melech? Specifically a Navi here. But also a melech holich b'darchei Torah v'amitzvah, v'nuchem l'chamas Hashem, he's doing things right. He's a melech, v'chol mitzvah samalchus na'ogos bo. He's a full melech. 100%. Now this is appointed by a Navi. Avo b'sheigra malchus l'dav v'yemi b'adav melech. Even though the Eger Malchus is to David, and from him comes the children or Malach. She'achi ha'shiloni hamed yiravam. V'amr l'vayim shmoa tishma ha'schol asher atzvecha v'chuli u'v'nisi v'chabayis neman k'asher v'nisi le'david avdi v'chuli v'amr l'achi u'v'no atin shever echel mani yos nir le'david avdi hayom l'fanab yishlaim. You see that achi ha'shiloni was given and his children. It's Yeravim. And when I said before, in his sons, it's the sons of Yeravim. So it sounds like once the Navi came, he's establishing another Melucha. So it's not a Horasha. Achia Shiloni was establishing a new Melucha. Now the Ramban can't have it. Because the Ramban says no other Shevet is entitled to it. Because he's coming from Hakon and Malavim. But the Rambam is not coming from that Pasuk. He's coming from the Pasuk that a Nachri can't be a melech. Nachri, by biblical standard, only meant ger. There was some sort of schos that the Nevi'im determined David was zocha to, and another Navi determined that Yeravim also got a piece of that. So this Navi, Shmuel, determines David, Achia determines Yeravim. As long as we can establish it's Sapi Hashem, there's a new schos that each one is getting, and each one can have a malchus. Now the difference between the two is Achia's Malchus, he never got that promise. Not Achia, I keep saying Achia because he's the Navi who established it. Yeravim's Malchus, he never got the promise that says if your kids go off the derech, the Malchus will return to them. David got that promise, that's a bigger schuz. But you don't find, he's not a Nachrim. This Navi said David's children will not be considered Nachrim, and Achia Shiloni said to Yeravim, your children aren't, so long as the Malchus isn't taken away from them, presumably. Then the Rambam says, Malchi b'stavad heim ha'omdim le'olam. That's the ones that establish forever. Avim yavad melech mishar Yisrael tifsuk ha'malchus mi'be'esah shere l'yavim nemar ach l'chol yom. Any other Navi, any other melech, it won't last forever. As we see with Yeravim, who happens to have been appointed by a Navi, that there's a pasuk that says ach l'chol yom. It's temporary. So we see this chus, it's not called Nachri because a Navi said it, right? And a Navi could give the Malchus just like the first Navi, so to speak. They're not in violation of any biblical commandment. But the chus to anybody will only be for a small duration of time, not eternally. David got it eternally.
That explains Jerome's jealousy.
Certainly could. Chazal definitely discussed how part of the jealousy also, one of the main things he did was to stop people being Olo L'Rego.
Right, because then it would take away from his chashivas.
It would take his chashivas because Malchus based Machi David are allowed to sit in the Azara. Machi Yisrael are not. So it would be a big slap in the face to Yeruv that he couldn't sit and David is sitting on a throne. So the Ravid here says he sees a stira between the Rambams. Now we've just read it in a way that's not really a stira, but the Ravid understood that the Rambam first made it seem like Yeruv is entitled to Melucha forever, it's his chuz, and then he says he's not. We said, no, he's entitled to Melucha, but not eternal Melucha. But he says, Elavadai Kenhu. The Ravid gives another pshat. He learns that seems to learn, I should say, he's similar to the Rambam. He doesn't seem to learn like the Ramban. He doesn't seem to see an issue of Akhanim Halavim. He seems to have an issue of Nachri, but he says David was Zochet to Malchus. Any other kingdom, so long as they remain kosher, can remain as a Malchus. Yeruvim was not supposed to stop at a point in time. It could have gone forever, but it was never supposed to be a very high Malchus, almost like a vice Malchus. That the Iker Malchus would be from David, and the secondary Malchus would be from Yeruvim, which is indicated by the Maamar Chazal that we just mentioned. If they were to have gone to the Beis HaMikdash, one would have seen, had they kept Halacha, that Yeruvim would have had to have stood, while Malchei Beis David would have been seated, clearly showing that there's more Chashivas to them. So the Ravid, similar to the Rambam, not like the Ramban, seems to understand there's no Isser of Kohanim Levim. There is an Isser Nachri, right? But that Isser Nachri is even if a Navi comes and appoints another Melech, if he tries to be top Melech. Whereas the Rambam holds, no, they're both Melechim 100%, but one is going to last forever, and the other one will stop at one point in time. It cannot last forever. So the Chashmonaim did establish a Malchus. It seems they wanted to establish it forever. It didn't work out. Everything happened the way it happened. Now, Lamaisa, according to the Ramban, he clearly says they violated something. According to the Rambam, they are Nachri, so to speak, because they're not from Malchus based on it. So we don't have a Navi appointing them. So now it's questionable if they were even zochen to it from the start. They're not like a Chia Shiloni's appointment of Yeruvim. But even if you want to say that the Navi is just Megala something, I don't know, maybe somehow you'll say that they did have some sort of source, which is a difficult read. Nevertheless, the fact that they then established it and tried to do it forever, it would seem it was never destined to work. Were they over an Isser? They're over an Isser if you hold they didn't have a zchus, which is the pashas according to the Rambam, because the Navi didn't say it. If you want to try to figure out somehow they didn't need a Navi, maybe the nace of Hanukkah was Megal, they had a zchus or something, who knows? It's unclear why that would be Megal for the Malchus. Even that, they wouldn't be over an Isser, but it just never was destined to last forever. And according to the Ravid, it's unclear whether they were in violation of anything. There was no Melech from David. So if they were not allowing a Melech from David to rise up under them, if they said, no matter who gets up, if there will be somebody qualified for Malchus based David, we'll still not allow him to be the top Melech, and us being, so to speak, the vice Melech, then according to the Rabbi, they were over the Isser. If they weren't, then they're just saying, look, we're running the government right now, nobody wants to step up, so you guys aren't stepping up. So it's not so clear they would have been over an Isser. So, it is questionable what happened with the Chashmonaim. It's certainly clear when they started, the revolution, they're certainly allowed to lead a revolution. The question is, after that point in time, what should the protocol have been? And it seems appropriately, at one point, I guess when things were under control, they should have established somebody from Malchus based David to have really taken charge. The next Melech from Beis David that we find is really Ben Koziba, who many do give the status of Malach. The Rambam certainly does, and he was from Beis David. You know, he's also known as Bar Kokhba. He ruled for 2.5 years. There was nothing wrong with his trying to take the Muluch, but the question is, how successful was it? And unfortunately, he didn't succeed at keeping it pure, and therefore, you know, it failed, unfortunately. But either way, the Chashmonaim were a totally different thing. That doesn't in any way negate, even if it progressed to something that wasn't great, certainly the first generation and second generation seems were tzaddikim. You know, Rabbim Be'amatim Tmei Be'atarim, right? The Rishon Be'at Tzaddikim. So, you know, when they fought the revolution, the intent wasn't for this dynastic establishment. It was to protect Klal Yisrael. And obviously the Nes occurred, and we discussed last week, the Nes was Megala, that this Yontif was supposed to last forever. So it doesn't take away from Hanukkah, even if from it there were certain things which perhaps were questionable according to many of these Rishonim. It could be. I mean, the Ramban is critical of them. So even if they were waiting, the fact that they did establish Melucha in the meantime, and they're not from David.
Oh, because they actually established it.
Because they did it, right. So according to the Ramban, it's a problem. According to the Rambam, in Ravid, you could start to argue, but the Pashas is that something wasn't right.